presentation this morning is on wild cycle species and chickpea improvement. You know that chickpea is one of the most important cool season food legumes. Here in this part of the world, we call it garbanzo. And it's grown mainly in the Indian subcontinent, West Asia, North Africa, North and Latin America. And in Australian continent also. The conventional breeding over the last decade has produced a lot of cultivars with significant agronomic improvement. Nevertheless, the crop still continues to be economically unattractive to the farmers because of low revenues associated with erratic yields caused by various biotic and abiotic stresses. When we look at the area 50, 60 years before and the area today, it's almost the same. The past search, however, has not brought any major gain in productivity of the crop, and many researchers, they feel that crop is still having restricted genetic variability. Keeping this objective in mind, we tried here to give you an overview of the SciShare research work done at ECADA in collaboration with the different national programs, and emphasis is on the wide hybridization. So how we can widen the genetic base if it is narrow? We can do through the conventional techniques. We have two types, desi and kabuli chickpea, and we can combine them and have different traits from each other. We can use the unconventional techniques like mutation, polyploidy, interspecific, and intergenic hybridization if possible. And here, in this presentation, I will talk mainly the interspecific hybridization and chickpea improvement. What are the uses of the wild relatives? How really we should go for wild hybridization? Our things to look into are how wild is the crop which we are talking about? How desperate is the situation? What are the pressures to develop new cultivars from the wild crosses? How available are the wild relatives? How difficult are the wild relatives to use or to cross? Is the breeder really interested to use the wild relatives? These are some of the questions which come up in mind when you really go for the wild hybridization. We know that genus SciShare has 43 species. Only 9 are annual, including the cultivated, and 34 are perennials. And we just look for the annuals because perennials are very difficult to handle. How wild are these annuals? You look, this is the cultivated SciShare Aratinum, and these are different species, Bijugum, Reticulatum, Echinospermum. You look, these Reticulatum and Echinospermum look to be almost nearly same, but the Bijugum is quite bad. You look, Judaicum, Pinnatifidum, Yamasite, Cuneatum, Coracenicum, all these species are quite diverse, even they don't look, some of them, like chickpea. When we look at the wild species with respect to the evaluation of different important traits like ascochyta blight, Fusarium wilt, leaf miner resistance, seed beater resistance, cyst nematode resistance, cold and drought, two important abiotic stresses. We find that Fusarium wilt, leaf miner, seed beetle, cyst nematode, cold. These are, there are quite a large number of accessions in the wild species which have resistance to these stresses. And we have even lot of the accessions in different species which are having multiple resistance to different stresses. Even in other places like Ludhiana in India, we don't have here facilities or the gray mold disease as a common disease. They found that sources of resistance are available in the wild. For protein content, if you look, the cultivated species has 17.1 to 20%, and Pinnatifidum has 26.8, some accessions. So the protein content is also high in some. Now let us see that what is the chickpea germplasm it has. We have Ascochyta blight, few sources. Fusarium wilt, we have good sources. Leaf miner, very little. Seed beetle, nothing. Cyst nematode, nothing. Cold, very little. And drought also very little. So we can depend on the wild species if we can really introgress. Now look at this. Why we do wild hybridization? This is a quote from Harlan. My father, H.V. Harlan, was a barley breeder, and people on occasion would ask him about the use of wild relatives in a breeding program. He was likely to answer to the effect that you are working with the wrong end of the equation. If you must go back to the wild, try crossing the plant breeder with the monkey. Perhaps you could get a breeder with four hands who could make more emasculations. So the people started working on wild hybridization, and very little success was obtained with respect to the cross of Aratinum with the other species. You see here, Aratinum is crossed with only Reticulatum and Echinospermum, whereas other species, which are the wild ones, these are crossable but not with the cultivated. Same way, Pundir could find only one cultivated species with the others. But in India, in Ludhiana, Dr. Verma could cross five different species out of eight, but nobody else on this world could do these crosses with these species except that group. Probably we have to look into how. We have been at Ekada trying to make crosses. We made a dial and we found that 21 crosses were possible, and out of these five crosses, which are relatively having quite good number of traits useful, these were possible, but only these two could give us plants. These did not really give us much desirable populations. Now, genetic diversity among the annual Cycas species, whether we have more diversity in the species or in the cultivated. And we found that the wild sized species have relatively high level of diversity. We attempted different crosses and we found that Sicer retinum and Echinospermum, these two can be easily crossed in progress, the desirable traits, but others we are attempting and still we are not really in a good shape. We could get embryos and from these crosses, but they could not develop fruit. You see here, now very recently we succeeded in making crosses between Retinum and Bijugum. We failed in the initial instance, but only this year we have a cross which has given us a plant which is at present now in the greenhouse, and we have used certain rooting hormones and the plant is in good shape. The biomass, seed yield, seed weight, cold tolerance of the varieties or the cultivars developed from Retinum and Reticulatum, you see here very high biomass is in the product as compared to these three entries which are the cultivated types. So we can have good biomass, seed size also we can have similar, cold tolerance level is high. And now let me give you where we are now with respect to the success. Echinospermum and Reticulatum, these have been very occasionally used for the transfer of the stress resistance. Reticulatum gave us much better results than Echinospermum. Wide variability is created and we have high biomass, high pod bearing potential, high secondary branches, increased length of the pod and seed yield. Some grasses even gave transgressive segregates for early flowering and early maturity with high level of tolerance to cold. These are some of the examples which you see here. This is the wild species crosses, whereas all other material is killed, and some of the crosses here are holding minus 15 degree centigrade temperature, and we are using this for winter chickpea technology in Syria. High biomass, you see here that with the high biomass, high pod number, we have it and they give high yield. And cyst nematode, which is absent in the cultivated species, we could introgress. So what are the future projections? You know that we have 8 wild-sized species, only 2 could be crossed. Remaining are still dilemma. We succeeded very recently in having 1 or 2 plants from Bijugum and Pinnatifidum. So we expect that with the embryo culture and other techniques, we will be in a position to succeed. There is a need for somatic hybridization, which should be exploited. A major impediment to progress in wild hybridization has been the lack of plant regeneration capability in vitro. So tissue culture from derived protopores should be explored. A regeneration of plants from tissue cultures and protopores could further pave the way for workable systems of plant regeneration, thereby facilitating broadening the genetic base of chickpea. Now, we have made the crosses between the species and given those segregating populations to different countries, and major user is India, with where some of the diseases which we don't have, they have, those are being exploited. Cyst nematode nursery, cold tolerance nursery is being supplied from the derived lines to different parts of the world to have their performance in other parts. So here we are at this moment, and we hope that we would be in a position to widen more and more the base of the chickpea. Thank you very much.